We're in?
We're in.
All right. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov. All right. Baruch Shemha Yeshua HaMashiach. We are here and we have the Bible study ready. But before we go, we have to wish Linda Johnson happy birthday. She's at home right now?
She's at work.
She's at work. So she's not going to see this, or it's going to be on her phone.
You'll see.
All right, Linda, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
I wish I was the
Linda Johnson.
Linda Johnson. Yeah, no, seriously. But I do want to thank Linda seriously because she sent me a book that I really have been reading. I learned some new things in. I'll give her a call tomorrow. And Jennifer Dobby, an online member, is her birthday as well. So say happy birthday to Jennifer, everybody.
Happy birthday, Jennifer.
All right, so let's get started into this Bible study. I've been prayed over. The Lord said he's with me. Stay on point. And so let's get started. You ready?
Pastor, did you want to talk about that Christmas thing right now?
I do not want to talk about the Christmas thing right now because the Christmas thing is something that needs to be explained. And you can't really explain it because you got half of the body of Christ going, it's a pagan holiday. And half of the body of Christ going, no, it's okay, I love Christmas. And so if we don't have facts to be able to show people, they're going to think, oh, they're just trying to justify Christmas. Or they're going to go, oh, they're trying to make Christmas pagan. Whatever, you know what I mean? So anyway, I'll show you the facts. You pray about it, and then you figure out which way you're going to celebrate Christmas. But as for me and my family, we are just fine because we realize that there are two holidays that Satan stole from the Jewish people. The first one is Thanksgiving, because at the end of the year, when the full harvest is in, everybody's celebrating. Thank God for the full harvest coming in. And so that's kind of like a ripoff of the Feast of Tabernacles is Thanksgiving. And then Christmas is, now, I will explain this. In the time of Jeremiah, when they were taking the trees and putting gold and silver on the trees and take them in the house, and then they bow down and they worship the tree as God. This was something that was going on almost 500 years before Hanukkah was ever created, okay? So Hanukkah is where we get Christmas from. Hanukkah is the dedication of the lights, or the festival of lights, okay? So the festival of lights is where we get our Hanukkah from. We have it on December 25th. Hanukkah is on Kislev 24th, but theirs goes for what, the next 8 days? A lot of things out of Christmas that you probably don't know. Everybody thinks they made up Santa Claus, and they did basically, but there is a guy named Saint Nicholas who was kicked out of the Catholic Church for preaching the Trinity. And he did give gifts to children, and he was not allowed to do that anymore because he was preaching the Trinity. And so the Catholic Church kicked him out. But I'm not going to teach on all that tonight because there are things you need to absolutely know about December 25th, the conception of Jesus Christ, not his birth. Amen. And the fact that, you know, if I bring a tree in my house and I put lights on it, and then I put a gift under it, I don't see that being as I'm worshiping a tree. You know, if you're going to do what Jeremiah did, you're going to have to bring it in and you're going to bow down and worship it and call it God and kiss it. I don't think Christians are doing that. So, but let's continue. There's some pagan things about it, but most of them are have to do with other traditions about Christmas. So we'll talk about it later time because I want to do that with facts.
Amen.
Okay. And now, I need us to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. And the title of this message tonight is The Enemy is on Short Time. God had me to read this this story again, and then he wanted to give me another perspective on it. So I'm going to read Matthew chapter 25. You guys know what Matthew chapter 25 is about? The 10 virgins, right? Okay, so let's read this. And I'm going to ask, I'm not really going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you the give you the perspective that God gave to me so that you understand fully what was going on at this period of time, okay? Because there's something the Lord said we have not considered when it comes to the 10 virgins, okay? Now, it says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Okay? Now, does it say five went to meet the bridegroom and the other five didn't know anything about the bridegroom? All 10 were waiting on the same bridegroom. Okay? Yes. They all went out to meet him. They all knew Jesus.
Yes.
Okay? It says, five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in the jar along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up, trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. Now, that bridegroom is representing Jesus Christ, right?
Yes.
The bridegroom arrives. The virgins who were ready went into the wedding banquet. Okay? I don't want you to repeat that, so I'm going to repeat it for you. The virgins who were ready went into the wedding banquet, okay? And the door was shut, okay? What door? The door of grace, the door of opportunity to accept Jesus Christ by faith. The time of that was now done, okay? Then it says, later, now Jesus is already gone, the bride's already in heaven, they run out and say, later, the others also came and said, "Sir, sir, open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour." Okay? Now, so five of them get left. Now, this is what God wanted me to understand. The five that were left, were they so foolish that they just were not responsible in what they were supposed to do? Or was it preached to them that they didn't have to have the oil ready to go? And if it was preached to them, who's going to be punished for that? And if it was preached to them, then five people were deceived by what they listened to, okay? Because there was a reason why they were not wise. Wow. They were not wise because the enemy knew that it was a short time before the Lord was about to arrive. So the message that was spoken to them was this: I know that they are saying you need to have oil in your lamp when the bridegroom arrives, but they're being legalistic. You don't have to have oil. You already believe in Jesus. You already believe in the bridegroom. So you don't really need the oil. Just relax and live your life and enjoy your day. Don't be like the other five. They're just legalistic. They're doing too much. The bridegroom loves us all, and he's going to take us all into the banquet with him. So don't worry about your lamps.
Oh.
And so the Lord was saying, if they were deceived and they believed a lie, it was because the enemy also knew the rules of the bridegroom.
Right.
The enemy also knew, and they knew they needed oil, but they were lied to. And so the Lord gave me a different perspective. If they were lied to, then that means they were deceived and they believed the lie. Now, when Eve was deceived, she was told the opposite of what God had told both Adam and herself, right? And Adam told her, we are not to eat of this tree or else we will die. And what did Hanahash say to him, the snake say? The snake said, did God really say that? You will die. A matter of fact, let me tell you something. God knows that the moment you eat of that fruit, you're going to become gods. Just like him. Mm-hmm. You're going to be Ki Elohim, which is the first numerical value of 666 in the Bible. You want to be just like God. So this was a lie that went forth. These bridegrooms, they know they're supposed to be ready, or else they wouldn't have had any lamps with them at all.
Right. Right.
But they had lamps with them. The problem was that they had been told that it was not really necessary.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at it in that perspective, if it's not really necessary, you're doing too much. Okay? Now,
someone said she was deceived, but she was still punished.
She's still punished because I was deceived is not an excuse before God. There's no Jehovah Witness that's going to go before God and say, I was deceived. There's no Mormon that's going to go before God and say, I was deceived. Mm-hmm. Because you know we have an original book.
Right.
You know the truth, right?
Right.
No Muslim is going to say, I was deceived. Because you know that there's two books that came 600 years before your book.
Right.
And you didn't take time to do it, to understand it. OK, so saying I was deceived is not an excuse before God. And understand this as well. You're responsible for truth. OK,
amen.
Now let's continue here. So the Lord said, look, there's a group of people. I don't know their names. One's called Watch Woman. Witch Watch Woman is what I typed, because the Lord says people know what they're doing.
Yeah.
You understand? The Christians that listen to them don't understand that these people are operating from a spiritual stance. Okay? They know what they're doing. When they whisper in your ear, this is, you don't have to worry about the rapture. You're already worthy. You don't have to worry about that. Well, I know the bridegroom is, but you don't have to worry. Your lifestyle is fine. Besides, you already accepted Christ. So therefore, you don't need to be ready. All you need to do is know that you once already accepted. Okay. And see, and so this is the lie that's being told to Christians, this Barry Scarborough guy and this witch watch lady, watch woman guy, and this some other guy named Tim. All of these people are teaching born again believers in the last day, because they know the enemy has short time. So he's focused on this. Tell these people that they don't have to live for Jesus right now. What will get you left? Not having any oil in your lamp. What does not having any oil in your lamp represent? You have no relationship, and you are not, you're not doing the things you need to do to keep the anointing in your life to have a relationship, okay? But I'm preaching it to you, and this is overwhelming the body of Christ right now, is God is not legalistic. Because you curse doesn't mean he doesn't still love you. Because you're still fornicating doesn't mean he doesn't still love you. Because you're still doing all of these bad things doesn't mean that you're not born again. You are still born again because you've already been saved, and God can't take back salvation once he gave it to you. And don't listen to Pastor Sandy. He's crazy telling you to live for God. And so they all are starting to believe it, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't go on and listen to these people, but they get back to me and they say, Pastor Sandy, these people are coming against you, and they're saying this. They say the new satanic saying, this is the new satanic saying of their movement. You can't be married to Jesus and date Moses. You know what that means? Since we're in Christ, we should have nothing to do with the law. We don't have to keep the law because we're in Jesus. And so this is like Satan comes up with little catchphrases right. for Christians to catch on to. And they're not biblical. They're just something that Satan comes up with so that you start listening to it. And then it becomes embedded in your ears. And now you think it's a cute saying and you want to live by it.
Right.
But if you're married to Jesus, you better understand if you're not keeping the law, right, which Jesus says he's not, he did not come to abolish, because you're above the law right now, which you don't understand. Before, you could say, okay, I didn't fornicate, or I didn't commit adultery. Now, if you look at somebody with the idea that you want to, it says you've already done it in your heart. So we're above that. You understand? Our thing is we want to be obedient to God. Okay.
Amen.
So, but the Lord told me this. They're not speaking against you, Sandy. They're speaking against me. They're speaking against my harvest because they're stealing people out of my harvest. And they're speaking against my word because you never wrote any of this.
Amen.
Okay? I'm just telling you what the Bible says, because if the Bible says make sure you have oil in your lamp, then I'm going to tell you make sure you have oil in your lamp. If some crazy person who called themselves to ministry comes in and says you don't need oil in your lamp, you better get back to your Bible and find out what God says,
right?
Because you saying you don't have to live for God because you're saved by grace means nothing to God, because truth is still truth. Okay?
Amen.
Now, I want you to understand something. Because I don't like losing people to foolishness. Okay? I was called to do what I'm doing. Okay? I was called. And they met a very breathe. How that happened? How is it that I can speak Hebrew, read and write and study in Hebrew? Is it because I'm so smart, or is it because God called me? I know the exact day God called me. I know exactly what happened on that day. I know how it felt on that day when I was called. You understand? So I have a date that God sent me. Okay. If God didn't send you, you can't just go. You understand? God has to call you to do this, because the word is very delicate and it has to be handled through the Holy Spirit by people who God has called. We have a problem because YouTube will call you to ministry if you want. You understand?
Amen.
YouTube will anoint you, call you to ministry, give you 1,000 members, and you can lie to them all and even lead some people out of Christ.
Yep.
Okay? So you can't watch everybody, because everybody's not telling the truth.
Amen.
And everybody hasn't studied. You understand? So people go with what they feel, and they heard something, and now they start preaching it, and they don't know that they're responsible for it, and they're going to be judged. And God says he's going to judge them all. Yeah. He says, because they're robbing from his harvest.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay?
Amen.
Now, I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. We had people that were following me, Pastor Ben, that were following the ministry, and are now following some of these ministries that tell them it's okay now if they curse and if they're doing all this, that they're still saved. They're following these people. And these people, and some of them were following, and now they made themselves pastors, and they got a new website, and now, but see, let me tell you something. We're going to have to get better with this, okay? We're going to have to get better with studying for yourself and knowing truth, okay? Now watch this, because I got to tell you the truth on this. Okay, this saying here that says, what is this thing? It says, we have been sealed until the day of redemption. Okay. How many of you guys know that scripture? We've been sealed to the day of redemption. How many of you guys know that's wrong, what I just quoted you? It doesn't say you've been sealed to the day of redemption or until the day of redemption. Mm-hmm. It says you've been sealed for the day of redemption.
Yes.
He sealed you for the day of redemption, okay? So let's look at this scripture, okay? Now watch this. I'm in verse Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And it says, do not let, it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, because he's talking to them about sin. Don't grieve the Spirit. Don't continually sinning and continually having to go back and repent and then continually sinning and then not repenting. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is here for one thing. And what is that?
The bride.
To lead us into, to transform us into the image of God. So that we can be the bride. You understand? The Holy Spirit is here to transform us into the image of God. So God is telling us, don't you grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't you make him sad over your lifestyle. Okay? While listen to him so he can help you grow and that he can keep you in Christ. Okay? So it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Okay, I'm going to read before that. Let me see, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk, I'm reading verse 20 now. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their need, that it may be benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you have been sealed. So your seal is what? The Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. Okay? So you're supposed to keep this Holy Spirit with you, and it is supposed to be with you and stay with you until the day of redemption. It is not sealed inside of you until the day of redemption. It's given to you for the day of redemption. And let's look at this. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. And here it goes. It says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. Jesus is talking to them. What did the Father promise them? He says, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So now he's telling them that the Holy Spirit is not only going to be your seal for the day of redemption, it's also going to be your garment, your clothing for the day of redemption. Why do you need a seal or a garment for the day of redemption? Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. Let's see what we're going to read here. Okay. Now, I'll explain to you the whole thing because we can't read it all. But the king is talking about a party or a banquet that he's giving for his son, right? And the king says, okay, go out and get those ready and invite them to the banquet. But there were people that were supposed to be invited that didn't do what they were supposed to do, and they shunned the invitation. So God says, okay, if they don't want to go out into the highways and the byways and find anyone you can and invite them to the party, okay, or to the banquet. So they go out and they gather all of these people, okay? All of the people are in the banquet hall. And then you get this message, verse 11, chapter 22, we'll read starting verse 11. It says, but when the king came to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. What do those wedding clothes represent? That's the Holy Spirit. That's how you're getting to the party. That's why he sealed you with the Holy Spirit. That's why you're clothed with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is what gets you into the banquet. You understand? So it says here, but the king came to see the guest. He noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many have been invited, but few have been chosen. So this guy's problem was what? He didn't have the garment that was given to him to wear to the banquet. Because now you have to go into Jewish history and realize that when they gave a banquet, the garments were supplied to every guest who accepted the invitation. If you accept the invitation, you get the garment, but you have to make sure that you keep that garment, yeah, because when the banquet happens, that is the garment you must wear. You cannot go to a king's banquet with your own clothing on. You must wear the garment that was issued by the king, okay? And if you understand that history, that Jewish history, you'll understand that God is only going to accept you with the Holy Spirit, okay? And you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. Not until nobody's put him inside you and locked it in. You've been sealed for the day of redemption. You've been given a garment for what? The day of redemption, okay? Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 16.
Good word, Pastor Sandy.
Because you know what I'm realizing? Maybe they don't know. Why are you believing such a simple lie? Why would Christians believe such a simple lie? You mean I can continue fornicating and still go to heaven because I'm saved by grace? Why, yes. My pastor said so. Mm. Yeah, who's your pastor? Lucifer, Satan, the snake. Because only those type of people are going to tell you the opposite of what Scripture is telling you.
Amen.
Listen to what chapter 16, verse 15 says. Get in here. It says, behold, Jesus is talking, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him so that he may not be naked and be shamefully exposed. So even Jesus is saying here in Revelation, make sure you keep your garment with you. Now, why would God be saying, make sure you keep your garment with you? Is it a possibility that you could set that thing down?
Mm-hmm. Once saved, always saved, Pastor.
Is it possible? You know, you get into once saved, always saved. And the problem you have with that is this. You're telling people that whatever sinful situation that they're in, it's okay because they've already been saved and they don't have to worry about it. And if you even try to live for God, this is how deep they got it. If you say, you know what, I have a problem. I'm trying to stop fornicating because it's just lust. And the Bible is telling me that no fornicator will enter into the kingdom of God. So I really want to stop. That snake pastor will tell you, why are you trying to stop? If you're trying to stop, that's just works. Mm-hmm. You're trying to earn your salvation. By stop sinning, I'm earning my salvation? Yeah. Don't you know that? If you try to stop sinning, like say you're smoking weed and you want to stop because you know it just doesn't look godly. If you're trying to do that, that's works. And that makes you not qualified to be saved because you're trying to do it.
Sin qualifies you, but trying to stop. Okay.
The stupidity, this is why, you know, when we think about Eve, we don't understand. Even stupidity seems intelligent when you're not listening to truth.
Amen.
Okay. Yeah. Did God really say not to eat of the fruit? Yeah, he said not to. Told my husband, if we do eat of it, we're going to die. That's end of the story. Right.
Right.
That would be simple. But you sit there and you listen, and pretty soon, really, if we eat it, we'll become gods. So you start listening to more foolishness. You understand? The Bible has a base for truth so that you stay on it. Amen. Okay?
Pastor, is that like you get your own planet once you die?
That comes from the same thing. That's Mormonism, right? That's Luciferianism and that's Mormonism. Everybody's going to become a god, so there's no reason to repent anyway. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2.
Get your own planet,
God.
Can't even get a car down here if you can get your own planet. Man.
I am going to be responsible for what I preach to you because God called me. And that's why before I speak a message, I have to hit my knees and find out what God wants to say. Because I can't come up with stuff on my own to teach you. Mm-hmm. But this is what God wants you to know tonight, okay? You in Philippians chapter 2?
Amen.
Okay. I'm going to read 1 through 12. And it's like I'm reading elementary stuff to possibly university students. But we have to read it because we got university students that falling for, you know, they don't know their pluses or the minuses. Okay, here we go. It says, now, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, and being one in the spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition, vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to hold on to or to grasp, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. And being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became what? Obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name. All of you people that afraid to say Jesus and want to say Yah all the time, you're not Hebrew, you're not Jewish. Get off of that. You understand? There is a name that we are to speak. You can call him Yeshua, he knows it in Hebrew. Okay? You can call him Jesus if you're Mexican. Okay? You can call him Esau if you're from Iran. Okay? But he's Jesus. And stop trying to say we can't use the name of Jesus. Okay? Wow. Because people get all caught up in this Hebrew rites. And I learned Hebrew, so I understand the Bible better. But I understand we can get foolish on trying to be Jewish in Hebrew over being born again in Christ. You understand? Being born again in Christ is way more than the Jewish roots.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Because if you ain't born again, you ain't in the family anyway.
Right.
Okay? Here, let's go before I get going too far away from my message. Okay. Therefore, God exalted him high and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, because this chapter is about what? Jesus coming and obeying. And being exalted because he what? Obeyed. The reward is for what? Obedience. If you're obedient, God gave him a name above every name because of his obedience. When Jesus came, you know, he had no idea as a man, I have to take orders. I existed before time. I made this place. You're telling me in this body, I've got to take orders, and I've got to listen to my mama? Go take the trash out. Don't be disobedient to your parents. It's in the scripture. Okay, mom. I created the world. I got to take the trash out? Obedient. You understand?
Yeah.
Jesus had to be obedient all the way to the cross. Every little thing. And so now we come in and our Lord, so he's saying, have the mind that Jesus had. Make obedience part of who you are. Make yourself to be nothing and be obedient. I don't have to stop cursing. I'm a grown man. Well, that's stupidity.
Yep.
There's no grown men in God's family. We're all children of God. So look, okay, so watch this. Therefore, dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Listen, God wants you to be like Christ, to have the mind that Christ had. Christ had a mind. I'm going here. I'm taking on a body. I'm going to have to be obedient to get this done. Okay? Obedience is beautiful. Why? Because you don't have to do it. Okay? That's why God blesses you for obedience. Okay? If you don't want to be obedient, say you want to be obedient to your flesh. Like my flesh tells me, fornication is what I need to be doing. My flesh tells me I need to smoke a little weed. My flesh tells me that since you said that to me, I need to say a few curse words to you. My flesh tells me, so you're just going according to what? Your flesh. You're not walking according to your spirit. You're walking according to your flesh. And now you're at the point because someone had told you that you got saved when you were 12, so you don't have to repent. You're doing all of this without repenting. And so now you're in big trouble, right? So God is saying, look, you're going to have to live in obedience. It is part of the Christian walk. The scripture says, if you decide that you're going to walk according to the flesh and not according to the spirit, the scripture says you will thanatos, the Greek word for death. You will die, but the word means to suffer in Hades forever. That's what the word means. So if you say my flesh is my controller, okay? I'm persistent in sin. I won't stop. I know I accepted you, but sin, I am persistent in doing it. And you are persistent in sinning all the way till the rapture happens. You will not go. Why? Because somebody told you you don't need oil in your lamp. Somebody told you that's a waste of time. What a waste. Pastor Sandy is crazy telling you to put oil in your lamp. Why? When the bridegroom comes, he's just going to take us all, girl. I'm telling you. He's just going to come and take us all because he loves us all the same. And you already gave your life to him. So if you got a little oil, you're fine. If you got a lot of oil, you're fine. All you just have to do is just wait here with us. And we're all going in the rapture. Don't you worry. Mm-hmm. Only thing is, the Bible says differently, right?
Yeah.
It's not Pastor Sandy who said you need oil in your lamp. It's not Pastor Sandy who said if you're a lukewarm Christian that God will spit you out of his mouth. Okay? It's not Pastor Sandy that said keep your garment with you with the Holy Spirit so that you can be ready for that day. You understand? It's not me who's saying these things. These are God's words. This is why the Lord said to me today, they are not preaching against you, they're preaching against me. They're preaching against my word. They're preaching against my harvest because they're stealing from my harvest by keeping people in sin, telling them that it's okay to not have oil in their lamp. And so it's a big responsibility when you start lying to God's people and thinking that you're not going to be judged for it, because God is going to judge you. Because if there's just one person that walked away from Christ because you told him, you don't have to get married. You love her in your heart. It's not really fornication. And you're both saved anyway. And you're, once you're saved, you're always saved. You lead one person to hell like that, and you will be judged.
Yep.
And do not think that God is going to look past that, because you've done something that the scripture says you should never place a stumbling block in Amen. Front of your brother.
Amen.
Okay. Okay. So now let's go to Luke chapter 21. Come on, man. How much time?
15.
Okay. Praise God. Luke chapter 21. The Lord said, tell them I'm going to judge them. I'm going to judge them. If they repent, they can repent. But when I judge them, it'll be too late, because I'm going to judge them, because you're setting a stumbling block in front of my people. And this is God's harvest.
Right.
You're setting a stumbling block in front of.
Luke chapter 21.
And we're going to be, let's see here. We're going to be at verse 25. Now watch this, because we're going to learn this. Okay, chapter 25. There will be signs in the heaven. What is Jesus answering? He's telling them how the end is going to be, okay? He says, at that time, he says, there will be signs in the heavens, okay? Signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. On earth, nations will be in anguish, perplexity, at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from the terror, apprehensive of what is coming upon the world. For the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things happen, okay, it says, when these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your head, because your redemption draws near. Now, I'm going to stop. Verse 28, it says, in the Greek, because we have to study, right? I'm going to read this for you, because he says, you'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, right? Now it goes to a Greek word spelled D-E, which in the Greek says, now we're talking about a whole new subject, okay? And if you ever look at the word up in Greek and you see a word says, but, or when, it'll have D-E, that means Now you're on another subject, okay? So when he said he's going to come on the cloud, what Jesus is saying, okay, now that time, what I was just talking about, I'm done with that. He says, now we're talking about something else. Let's go to verse 28. So verse 28 says, now this is a new subject. When these things happen, when these things take place, what things? When these things take place, the things that I'm about to tell you about now. I just told you about when I'm coming, but now I'm telling you, it does the exact same thing in the book of Matthew. And it says, when these things begin to take place, stand, lift up your head, because your redemption is drawing near. Okay? He's saying, this is what I'm about to tell you has nothing to do with the second coming or the end of the age. I just finished that in 27. What I'm telling you now is something that's going to come up on the earth. This is a new subject, okay? So, in verse 31, even so, when you see all these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. What are we going to see? I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things happen. Okay? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Okay? Now, he says this, I tell you the truth. This generation will not pass away till these things happen. He's getting ready to tell you about what's going to happen. Okay? We'll get back to this generation, because he's telling you the generation that sees this is not going to pass away. And we have to be very understanding of that. It says, be careful, be careful, or your heart will be what? Weighed down with dispensation and drunkenness. This is Jesus talking to Christians. And he's telling these Christians, you be careful. I know you're my followers. You be careful, or else your heart may be consumed with dispensation and drunkenness. Okay? He's telling them, make sure you stay in Christ. Make sure you're doing what you do. And he says, we'll be weighed down with dispensation and drunkenness and the anxieties of life. And that day will close up on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon who? All those who live on the whole face of the earth. Okay? So he says, be always on watch and pray. What is he telling them? Keep oil in your lamp and pray, right? Okay? That you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of God. Okay, so you want to be worthy, you want to be able to stand before the Son of God. How are you going to do this? You're going to stay on watch, you're going to stay praying, you're going to make sure you don't get caught up in the world with drunkenness and partying, and you're also going to make sure that the anxieties of life don't consume you, where you put God on the back burner because you're worried about life. You understand? This is how you're keeping oil in your lamp. Jesus right here is telling them how to be ready, right? To be worthy. Because something's going to come up on the whole world. What's that event's going to come up on the whole world? The rapture is going to come upon the whole world. Judgment is going to drop, and it's going to come upon the whole world. And the whole world will be without what? The dispensation of grace will be done. No, Noah, you know what Noah backwards is? Grace. In Hebrew, Noah is just grace spelled backwards. Did you know that? So God is telling you it's going to be just as the days of Noah, right? Meaning that this grace period is going to end. You understand? I told you before, one time my boss said, look, you gave me this paperwork. It was due at 3:00 today, but I'm going to grace you another day to finish it. Does it mean that I got forever?
No.
No, it means that I have another day to turn the work in properly so that I won't lose my job. You understand?
Right.
I was graced another day. God's grace is gracing us until the rapture. Then there's no more grace.
Right.
Amen.
Now you have to die for your salvation by confessing Jesus as your king and not denying him, even at the risk of death. It's a different time then.
Different.
Okay. Now, let's get back to the thing of generation. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away. I'm looking at the guy today who wrote 88 Reasons for 88. Okay? Remember the message I wrote, I did called The Rapture is Misbehaving?
Mm-hmm.
You know why I said the rapture was misbehaving? Because the 70-year generation had passed.
Right.
I'm like, what is going on? Okay? And the guy who wrote 88 Reasons for 88 was disheartened because he's like, wait a minute, a generation is 40 years. How is it that 1988 came and went and no rapture? Because he believed that a generation was from 1948 to 1988, and that was the end of the generation. Okay? We come in and we go, oh, that's so foolish for him to believe in if 40 years was a generation. Generation 70 years. So we come in and we say a generation is 70 years. And we are, now we say a generation is 70 years, even though Jesus says the time that we're going to have before judgment hits will be like it was in the days of Noah, and Noah's generation was 120 years. But now we're saying, no, the 70 years came and nothing happened. We were shocked. We should have wrote a book just like the 88 guy, right? And then we go, oh my goodness, how come nothing happened? Now, we have two choices. Either God is wrong. The Bible was wrong. Jesus said this generation will not pass until this happens. Either Jesus was wrong or you're wrong.
Mm.
So who's wrong?
We're wrong.
Because the Bible says it's impossible for Jesus to lie. So he says this generation shall not pass. And then right after he says that, oh, by the way, this generation will be just like the generation of Noah. Okay? So in Genesis chapter 7, God says to Noah, Noah, you and your family go into the ark because you have been found righteous in this generation. What generation? Since the time I told you to build this ark, you and your family have been righteous in this 120-year generation. And now we're on the 119th year of a 120-year count, and we've got the understanding that Satan is on short time. Who is he after? Satan is not even concentrating on sinners right now. He's concentrating on the church.
Yes.
He's got Kanye doing your praise and worship, who is a full-fledged Luciferian worshiper.
Yes.
He has Kanye setting up an all-seeing eye in Joel Osteen's church and doing the worship in the form of the all-seeing eye, just the same as he did in his backyard when he started the whole thing. And now he's supposed to go meet with the Pope.
What?
So I'm just saying this. Look.
Oh, my goodness.
Satan is concerned about, we've got to deceive as many people as we can away from the escape. We don't want these people to escape. We want people who are calling on the name of Jesus to say, you know what? I don't have to stop sinning, because when Jesus comes, he's taking all of us. Rather, we're deep in sin and not repenting or whatever, because we're all once saved and always saved. And we don't have to be obedient to God. We just got to say we're Christians. And then I tell you, no, you can't live like that, brother. You got to live for God. And if you sin, you have to repent. Pastor saying he's a false prophet.
Right.
He told me I got to repent when I sin.
Because you judge him.
Who's this young lady? She sent me a thing today. I said to the lambs. I was like, I'm saying to the lambs, a wolf is coming, a wolf is coming. And one of the lambs says, get out of here, you legalistic person. There's no wolf coming. You're just trying to make us live right. And the wolf was right behind them. She said that to me today. I got to look at my phone to remember her name. But I was like, thanks, you really, this is what I needed to see right now. Because that's basically what was happening. I'm trying to tell you how, listen, I love you. I'm trying to tell you how to escape this world and enter into the kingdom at the time of the wedding banquet. I'm doing that for you because God called me to do that. If you don't believe me and you want to believe the snake will give you a story. And when he's finished, that story will sound good to you, okay? But if you follow it, I'm telling you, you'll be running just like non-believers in the tribulation.
Yeah.
And you'll say, oh my God, I should have kept my life and kept in line with what God told me and how he told me to live so that I can also be ready to escape all that's about to come upon the earth, which is the judgment. Okay. So that's really all I have to say. People following me, then I look at those same people, they got their own sites now, and they're telling people, don't follow Pastor Sandy because he's telling us we have to live right. And you know, every time somebody's following you, Pastor Ben, don't mean they're following you for a good reason.
No, that's true.
You know what I mean? Pack of wolves behind you, they're not following you because they like your leadership. And some of those people, you know, always had the little argument with me about, well, you know I'm doing this, but I'm still saved. And I would be, sometimes I would lose friends. And you know, Pastor, every time I tell people you got to live for God, we lose 10, 15 people just by telling you got to live right.
Right.
Okay? So, look, the way to escape is to be in relationship with God. The way to be in relationship with God is not to be perfect, but if you should sin, confess your sin, for he is just and he will forgive you of your sins. Because the scripture tells us in John chapter 2, in 1 John chapter 2, listen, he says, the man who says, I know him and does not do what he commands is a liar and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, love is truly made complete in him. So God wants you to obey. And if you say that you belong to God and you don't obey, he says you're a liar. God is calling you a liar. But then right before that, he says, but if you should sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, that if you would confess your sins, because confession is taking that to the altar, right? Yes. Still, it is the doctrine of Christ that you take your sin to the altar with confession so that he can make you right once again and then put you in right standing with him.
Yes.
Confession is still a part of our walk.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
Okay. We're going to escape. He's on short time. The enemy is on short time. So we got to start telling each other the truth, okay? Because if you tell somebody, that they're okay with their sin and they're going to be fine and they get left, you're responsible for that. You understand? But the Bible says if we warn our brother who falls into sin, he says we have saved him from death and a multitude of sins. You understand? Okay, that's it for tonight's Bible study. Hallelujah. Let's pray for all of our beautiful YouTube family all across the world. I want you to stay in relationship with God. I want you to take your relationship serious with the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I thank you for the message that you gave to me earlier. I gave the warning, Father God, that you said that you will judge them. For they speak not against me, but they are speaking against you. And I pray, Father God, for all those who are listening to our ministry, that we be good stewards of your word, that we teach people, Father God, to stay in relationship. And if they should sin, that they can be forgiven, Father God, and that they can repent and come back in relationship. Father God, I just pray, Father God, that this will be in their hearts and their understanding will be, Father God, to stay in relationship through the system that you've set up. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the system.